that sounds a little hissier than usual, even. You wouldn't know that was actually recorded here in our studios, would you? Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs its hissy little self every Friday night here on KCRW at 7:30. And tonight we're going to listen once again to a program that you just might have missed, which aired at the beginning of January in 1985 and was recorded, I'd say around October or November of 1984. And it was an interview with Mal Sharpe. Mal Sharpe is not a household name in this country, or anywhere for that matter, except probably among his immediate family. But his voice is certainly very familiar, thanks to the many, many commercials he's done for all sorts of things, from the phone company to TV Guide. He's a man-on-the-street interviewer. And in addition to doing these commercials, he also does these tapes just for his own pleasure. He goes around and asks people strange questions, and the results are often very humorous. He's put together two albums of these. One is called The Meaning of Life, and the second one is called The Last Man on the Street. And these two albums are available on Rhino. And back when the second of these albums had come out, Mal was down. He lives in Berkeley. He was down to promote the album, and so he came and had a chat with us. So basically, we'll be listening to a lot of excerpts from these records, but with some illustrative interview material from Mal Sharpe himself. So without any further ado, let's start off with an excerpt from his most recent album. He's due for a new one, I think. Let's let him know that. His most recent album, called The Last Man on the Street. Here is Mal Sharpe.
We're out here on the convention floor, and I'm talking with another newsman. You are?
Steve Snyder, WLEE Radio.
You know, I've been asking a lot of the delegates here how their underwear is holding up. You're a newsman. How's your underwear holding up?
Yesterday, I had quite a few problems. I had problems with chafing, bunching, and gathering of perspiration in uncomfortable areas.
Now, bunching is particularly rough in a crowd like this. There's no way you can turn to get rid of the bunching, right?
That's right. It also causes unsightly bulges in the trousers.
I wonder if Tom Brokaw's underwear is bunching.
I have noticed that Walter Cronkite has been shifting uncomfortably in his chair whenever I've seen him. Now, I don't know why that is. He may just have gas.
The one question I'd like to ask you is, how's your underwear? You're holding up?
Well, not too much bunching this time of year. You know, you get a lot of bunching in the summer. You get a lot of bunching, in the hot weather. But it's holding up pretty good today.
Okay, this is another edition of the Sharp Poll. Every day I go out and take polls with the delegates. It's very hot and sticky here in New York City, right?
Yes, it is.
How's your underwear holding up?
Mine hold up very good.
You're changing it a lot?
Twice a day.
How's your underwear holding up?
Real well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I haven't checked it lately, but...
How many changes are you making a day?
A day?
Yeah.
Averaging one.
Okay, very good. How's your underwear holding up?
I change mine two times a day, and after the rules vote, I had to change it another time.
Excuse me, Walter Cronkite, can I ask you one question?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm working reporter.
When you get up off the seat, is your underwear sometimes sticking to your...
Quite often.
Okay, well, that's it for the Michigan delegation. Let's go back to the station.
Was that really Walter Cronkite?
Yeah, I was at the Democratic convention. I guess it was not the most recent one, but the one in New York 4 years prior to this. It's getting a little confusing. But at any rate, it was in New York City. Actually, the whole reason I went to the convention and even started covering that, I always wondered what it was like if you were Walter Cronkite being at the center of these national events for years. So I was on the convention floor. I was trying to get to the New York delegation because I was going to poll them about how's your underwear holding up. It was actually a very natural question because it was hot and sticky in New York City, and your underwear was constantly sticking to your seat. So I was pushing toward the New York delegation, and there about four... rows of people away in this kind of mass of people was Walter Cronkite. And I don't like to bug celebrities and I don't like to bug other reporters, but there was just something about seeing him on the floor of the convention because he's usually not there and having the opportunity to stick a mic in his face and say, how's your underwear holding up? I couldn't resist
it. Oh, he handled it very well, I must say.
Well, he tried to get rid of me at first, He didn't really want to answer any questions. It was a very uncomfortable situation. But at any rate, he did answer the question.
Well, to explain what's going on here, we're talking with Mal Sharpe, who is at least reputedly the last man in the street. The last man in the street.
The last full-time man on the street. I think there are other men on the street, but the last full-time.
Yeah, they just do it as a hobby, sort of.
No, you get, you know, stations as a last resort when they can't think of a way to handle the news. They say, send some guy out to ask people in the street how they feel about, you know, the inauguration or the debates or something. But
well,
I'm doing it full time. This is all I do.
You have two albums currently out on, I don't know why I'm telling you this, you should know it.
Yeah.
Two albums currently out on Rhino Records, The Meaning of Life and The Last Man on the Street. And it's wonderful to see another record come out. This is, as the listeners to my show know, most of the great comedy records are at least 10 or 15 years old. And it's nice to see that someone is still putting them out and still putting out interesting ones.
Yeah, Rhino is a fairly offbeat place. And who knows what their motivation is with anything they do. Rhino's the record company that put it out.
So you take your roving man on the street microphone to all sorts of locations, such as, for instance, you went to the Republican convention in 1980.
It's actually hard, you know, when you think when you're going to go to a convention, you think it's going to be easy to just go out and talk to people.
Did you have press credentials?
Yeah, I was covering it for a radio station in San Francisco, and but when you get out on the floor, the delegates are so wound up in what's happening, it's very hard to sometimes get them off the track into something that's funny. So. For instance, at the moment when Reagan was nominated, there was a tremendous amount of ballyhoo. People were really going ape. You know, this was the highest moment in their life, probably. And you can't really ask anybody a detailed question at that moment because they're yelling and screaming. But you don't want to ask the same old question, you know, how do you feel at this moment? You know, that could be quite right. So what I did was instead ask them, you know, what their favorite fish was.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay.
My fellow delegates, it is now my great honor and privilege to nominate the next president of the United States, Ronald Reagan!
Okay, this is exciting. Ronald Reagan has just been nominated. I'm going to walk around now and capture some of the excitement here. How you doing? What excited? You excited about Reagan?
Oh, I love Reagan.
What's your favorite fish?
My favorite fish.
How about you, sir? What's your favorite fish?
Rock.
What?
Rock.
What?
Rock fish.
Rock fish. Okay. How you doing? What's your favorite fish?
Dover sole.
Dover sole. And what excitement here is there? What's that?
Fish.
Listen to that crowd for Reagan. How you doing?
Different.
What are you saying over here? Are you excited about Reagan?
Of course we're excited about
it. I like the nomination.
Very much so.
What's your favorite vegetable?
What's that got to do with Reagan?
What's your favorite vegetable?
What difference? Asparagus. Well, what's that got to do with Reagan?
Okay, well, the cheering is dying down now, and I think we have a new candidate, and we have a new favorite vegetable, which is asparagus. Let's go back to the station. You drive a delivery truck here in town, huh?
Yes, sir.
What do you deliver?
Mail.
Okay, you know, they're having this MX missile debate now in Washington, and some people want to keep the missiles in certain silos. Other people believe that the missiles should be moved around, and one of our more brilliant senators suggested that the mail trucks start carrying MX missiles. How would you feel about this?
No, I wouldn't want to carry no missile in no mail truck.
What if you could have a big MX missile right next to you in the driver's seat, you know?
Well, I don't know. I have no missile next to me.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't like that.
Really?
No. Something might go wrong and boom, there I go. You know, me and the missile. Wait a minute, I think my life is just as important as the next man's.
Yeah, but the senators say and the government says it's no big thing. You know what I mean? We're going to have those MX missiles all over America.
Well,
so
I tell you what, you tell the senator to put it in his limousine. I like that better, seeing that he is so free with other people's lives, tell him to use it himself.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, to me it do. You're not going to put it in my truck. What come he can't do it? Instead of the working man out here paying his salary.
Right.
Go kill me off.
You got a good idea. I think if you were running the country, we'd be in a lot better shape.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'd give it a try.
Are you a friend of Jimmy Carter?
Am I what?
Are you a friend?
Well, a lady stopped over here. I've you know, been to his house a few times.
Well, you know, Jimmy Carter says he's elected president by the international so-and-so, which means they are taking over a one-world government.
Yeah.
They blew one planet up.
Yeah.
The planet Maldek.
They blew up Maldek?
Well, all I have to say, you're full of bull. If I see you again, you won't be in the body.
Really?
I've got friends, and I'm an American.
Oh, she's waving your cane at me. Okay, take it easy there.
They'll spoil it like they spoiled everything.
You like talking to loonies?
I try and avoid lunatics. You know, when you're out on the street, you get real hip to who is even the subtle varieties of lunatics. And I usually try and avoid looking at them, because if they see you have a mic, they usually have some cause. But once in a while, when somebody looks interesting, or sometimes they just come up to you and unavoidably start talking, and you're trapped.
Well, this woman was wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about
maybe to you.
Was there more that we don't hear on the record with this lady?
No. This woman came close to taking my life with her umbrella. Yeah.
Yeah, House of Magic?
Yes.
We're doing a little feature today on the radio about April Fool's Day and some of the outstanding pranks people could pull on April Fool's Day with your items. Do you have anything that would...
Barf?
Excuse me?
Barf.
Barf.
Which is a throw-up.
How long have you been handling the barf?
22 years.
Has the barf changed, you know?
Only price. It's the same old barf.
Same barf?
You put a little water on it, wherever you put it, they're going to look at it.
Well, now, wait, I was thinking of that plastic barf, you know?
This is a plastic barf.
Why do you put the water on it?
Makes it look fresh.
The seriousness with which the man discusses his product is just... It's just wonderful.
Yeah. Well, he's in his own reality, you know. The most popular product, what is it, April Fool's Day, is barf to this guy. You know, there's nothing funny. Well, there is nothing funny about barf.
Most of the pieces on this record were done for a radio station in San Francisco.
Yeah. For about 4 years, I worked for KMEL up there, which was known as The Camel. They recently had a format change, and now you can't speak of it as The Camel anymore. They've changed their image. You know, these are the big decisions radio broadcasters make, the general managers make. You know, we won't say it's The Camel anymore. But anyway, it was a terrific experience, and they gave me carte blanche. How do you say that, Bob?
Is it? And, carte blanche.
Yeah, carte blanche, to really go and do what I wanted to do. They paid for me to go to the conventions, the Super Bowls, things like that. It was terrific.
Okay, I'm on the floor of the convention now, live. Tom Brokaw is right in front of me. Say, you're a cameraman for Tom Brokaw?
No, I work for Channel 2 in Salt Lake City.
I wondered if Tom was going to go on the air. See, I'm with a radio station. If I could do a simulcast, I could stand behind him, and our viewers would hear me on the radio and see me on their television sets. It would be a first in radio.
There's the live camera right there, that guy.
What should I do?
Walk up behind this girl here.
Okay, do you want to direct me?
Just walk up right behind her. Don't play to the camera, but just look around like you're interested in something.
Okay, I'm sidling up now behind Tom Brokaw. All right, I'm right behind him. He's on the air, right? Okay.
Get your face on the air. You got to get the light on your face. And
right. Is the light on my face now?
Yeah, you got a good key light. Yeah, it'll show your features. You'll do just fine.
Okay, now I'm going to start my simulcast, and viewers at home should turn on the television set now. Here we go. Live from the Republican Convention, this is Mal Sharp. This is exciting. We're both on right behind Tom.
That's it. We're on national TV.
I see us on the monitors up there.
Politicians pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for this opportunity, and we did it free.
What's your favorite vegetable?
Asparagus.
And there seems to be a real consensus as to people's favorite vegetables. Now, what I want to know is, did you load this up since asparagus is your favorite vegetable, or is asparagus really such an overwhelming favorite among the general population?
Asparagus, and my wife Sandra will attest to this, is my least favorite vegetable. It seems to be hers. She makes tons of asparagus, which she brings out to the table. And I keep saying, you know, don't you realize I don't like asparagus? But for some reason, some of the people that I've asked this question to, what's your favorite vegetable, have chosen asparagus. I don't understand it, and I don't believe.
Could the microphone perhaps remind them? Do you have a long,
maybe,
thin microphone?
Is it? Well, I actually am interviewing with an asparagus.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Do you like asparagus?
No, I can't stand
me
it.
Either. One asparagus is okay. You know what all the Nouvelle Cuisine they have now?
It's just one, a single asparagus.
Yeah,
when we get into asparagus, it becomes a little difficult.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite guy. You've been the mainstay of our...
Don't you leave me alone, will you, please? I've had enough here.
I saw you a couple days ago, and here you are again. Carter announced today...
I don't go for Carter. I'm not a Carter man.
He wants to pass legislation. No more New York accents allowed. Everyone in New York City has to learn how to speak like a Southerner.
Why should I speak like a Southerner when I'm not?
Where are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn.
The Dodgers have left Brooklyn, right?
Right.
There's nothing left there anymore. It's a wasteland.
Of course.
The Brooklyn accent stinks. Everybody in America.
I love Brooklyn. I'm sorry. I wouldn't take a Georgia accent if you gave it to me for nothing. The hell with Carter and the hell with Georgia.
Try one thing. Just say you all.
You all? Oh, my God. Terrible. Let me stick to my accent, Brooklyn.
Okay, we'll go back down to our station.
Hey, okay, nice talking to you.
Talking. Just say it civilized.
It's my pleasure talking to you, you all.
Well, this is Carl Yastrzemski's last time at bat, probably, in Oakland. Hey, Tom. Tom Doyle, you're a Boston fan, right? You're from New England.
You know, tonight is the last time I'll ever see he has a bat, and I saw him one of the first times he ever batted.
Where was that? There it is. What did he do?
Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh! Oh, wait! Now, look! My hero!
What did he do?
He hit a home run, you dope. What do you think he did?
Carl Yastrzemski hits a home run his last time at bat in Oakland.
Yes. Woo! Oh! Oh, I wish I had a beer. Wait a minute. I do.
The thing that I love about your work, one of the things, especially in The Meaning of Life, is the ability that you have to get people to take absolutely absurd concepts very seriously and actually consider the thought that they might bring a corpse to a baseball game or you know, wear diapers.
The diaper people. Well, I don't know, you know, how seriously they take it.
Is it that you have a knack for picking out gullible people to ask these of, or?
It's not only that they believe it, because I'm not that much into putting people on. I have a feeling it's as if they suspend their judgment for a moment. You know, we sort of meet on the street. I propose this thing. They may think it's ridiculous, but for some reason they decide, well, what the hell, they're going to talk about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just persist in talking about it. So it almost becomes an improvisation, and I don't know if you said to them later, did you really believe that, whether they would say, yeah, I believed it. But for that moment, they were willing to emotionally get wrapped up in it, you know?
Okay, we're on the Sausalito Ferry for a preview of the 1981 San Francisco Video Festival. Your name is what?
Mr. Stone.
You know, one of the things that's causing controversy here at the festival is video fungus. It's a thing developing here in San Francisco. When you sit with your feet toward the television set, you can develop video fungus on your toes. Do you have that in England yet?
I suppose it happens, but I've never heard of it before. How do you recognize it?
What's fungus? What is video fungus?
Je ne comprends pas. Je ne comprends pas ce que vous dites.
On the feet? Sur le pied?
Nous n'avons pas cela en France.
So you don't have video fungus in France?
J'enlève mes chaussures.
Oui.
Et je reste sans chaussures.
Oh, you sit without shoes.
Without shoes, yeah.
Okay.
Show me your fungus.
You want to see American video fungus?
Yes, I want to see American.
Okay, here's Lowell. Who has video? This man, Lowell Darling, will take off his shoe. Look at his feet.
Oh, wonderful.
Video fungus.
I interviewed Steve Allen when they reissued his Funny Phone Calls albums.
Yeah.
And he agreed something which I think is basically true of these, is that the real star of this stuff is these people.
Yeah, yeah, I feel that way. I mean, you sort of provide a platform for them. You know, you sort of open it up for them to come forward and sort of be funny or clever and have a good time and improvise. You know, you're just sort of a straight man, you know, for them.
Excuse me, what'd you say?
Will you please take our photo together, you know?
You want me to take your picture?
Yes, sir, because, you know, we just came from the Philippines.
We want a souvenir of San Francisco.
That's right, sir.
Okay, give me the camera here. This is exciting. Do you know about the photography tax in San Francisco? Every time you take a picture in the city, you're taxed $10?
Very nice. We enjoy hearing that tax for you.
You like that tax?
Yeah. Well, we can help for San Francisco to grow, and improve better by paying another tax, you know.
Photo. So if I take your picture, you're going to pay $10 to Mayor.
Okay.
I like that idea.
Imagine it, yeah. What a nice joke. Yeah.
Okay, I'll take your picture now. Do you have the $10 on you? Yes, how do you want me to take the picture? You right both of you together?
Just on the side.
Waist shot.
Yeah, waist shot. That's
okay.
Right.
Only.
Thank you.
I'm going to let you off without paying the tax.
What did you want to be when you grew up, and how'd you get into doing what you're doing?
Well,
in 25 words or less.
Yeah. I had sort of, I think, in high school I majored in radio and TV and this sort of thing, but not as talent, more as, you know, director or producer. And I sort of thought that would be it. I'd be a guy in a suit that would sit in the control room and tell people what to do or, I don't know, write or something like that. I moved to San Francisco to kill some time, and I met this guy who lived at a boarding house that I was living at, who just loved to put people on. His name was Jim Coyle. He was a real sick guy. I mean, he could not get through any conversation with anybody without, as he put it, quote, terrorizing them. He was very good at it. I mean, he was fantastic. So I found it funny, and I'd hang out with him, and ultimately, instead of getting jobs, we decided to get a hidden tape recorder and walk around and record some of the, you know, situations that we fell into, and then we got a record with Warner Brothers, and, you know, he disappeared mysteriously one day, and I've been doing it ever since.
It's and just you haven't heard fluke. From him?
No, I've never heard. He was my partner for about 5 years, and we did a couple of albums and things. A lot of people still remember Jim Coyle because he was a very bizarre and brilliant guy, but he just left one day, and I've heard rumors, and I've always, it's been about 20 years now that I haven't seen the guy. You know, it's like a wife disappearing. But
your fellow Bugravian.
Yeah, right. The Bugravian folk sing as well at the height of the, they're having a renaissance. I was on Michael Jackson's show recently, and somebody who I guess was at that concert called up and asked about the Bugravian folk singers. I don't know what this is. Nothing's ever lost. But at any rate, the height of the folk singing craze in the early 60s, my ex-partner and I were booked into the Bear's Lair at the University of California. It's where all the folk singing acts were playing. And we were introduced as these two guys who had come over to America to make a record for Warner Brothers. We were from this country of Bugravia, which was a totally meaningless country. And we came out in these bizarre double-breasted suits and sang in this nonsensical language. And these kids just adored us. The look in their faces, you know, it was... just
soaking
looking,
up the culture, right?
Yeah, just looking up at us with such reverence that we had come from Bugravia and were singing at University of California.
Noj and Palach, was that?
Noj and Palach.
Palach.
Similar to the beginning of Hanukkah, Palach. Not Noj. Well, it might have been Noj and Palach. Palach, yes. And then we told them it was a joke, and they had a sense of humor about it, fortunately. But it was one of those moments I really enjoyed. I don't like getting up in front of audiences, but the look of adulation on the faces of these students, who probably later were going to be in the free speech movement.
We sing first Mancho Terras. Che la puanta, che la moana, ha la pasa, hi to hula.
Tu ma tento re se te ge.
Ha 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 ha. Che ma la to, che ma la to, che la
pa. Ma ha ha ha. Re sa dol volia te.
Re sa.
Re to talk.
Naja.
What's your ratio of usable to unusable stuff? I mean, how many interviews do you have to do before you get one you can use?
Well, when I was working, you know, at the station, and I had to do 10 pieces a week, I don't miss a lot. I mean, if I stop somebody and they talk, usually I can get a minute out of them. You know, I can get a beginning and an end. You know, that's all you need is a good punchline. So, you know, if the person is talkative. So that's fairly easy. When I'm going to do a commercial, and maybe there's just going to be three or four commercials in a series, you want to get really good people. I can spend all day just getting one, you know, really good one and burn through a lot of people. I won't do the whole interview if it isn't happening, but I might stop 10 or 15 or 20 people before I get somebody that has all the ingredients to make a memorable commercial, you know, a good voice and bright and the direction of the thing goes the right way and... you get the copy points and you know, all that stuff.
Commercials have been good to you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's the only way I can survive, really, you know, with my lavish holdings and estates and peacocks and elephants and airplanes. You know, you have to do commercials.
I love the story of the Minnesota pizza place.
I was hired a few years ago to do these commercials for this small pizza chain in Minneapolis. And I thought, you know, they were just going to say, hey, come here and ask the customers how they feel about the pizza, but that wasn't the idea at all. We took the pizza to to Italy, to the Piazza Navona or something like that, and now, served their pizza okay, to now, these Italians.
First of all, did you bring ready-made pizzas from Minnesota and reheat them in Italy?
No. We brought the ingredients to Rome, you know, the sacks of the ingredients. And then the owners of this place, it's called the Vanni's, they rented a pizza parlor right on this piazza. And they took it over. They got the oven and everything. And then they made the pizza there. And then I always hear my Boston accent when I say pizza there. They made the pizza there. And then we just went out in the square and served it to, we were trying to mostly get English-speaking people, you know, who would say that this pizza was great and that's why they came to Italy, because Italians knew how to make pizza and this was fantastic pizza. And then I would tell them it came from the Twin Cities, you know, Minneapolis and St. Paul, and they would scream and they wouldn't believe it. And then I got a translator and we went around in this market, this food market right behind the piazza, and gave it to some of the workers, the produce guys. And they said it was good, and then when I told them it came from the United States, they couldn't believe it. And then through the translator, I would tell them that Italians don't understand anything about pizza, that you have to go to Minneapolis. And I would really abuse these guys through the translator. And they were screaming at me, you know. And one of them uttered obscenities, which we knew it was obscene in Italian, but we put it on the air in Minneapolis, hoping no one would know what...
Well, you didn't think anyone spoke Italian?
Yeah.
It's an interesting conceit. I think
the actual word was fungu or something like that. And they got numerous phone calls.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, to get it off the air.
Okay, it's inauguration morning, and we're out here on the Capitol lawn. We're waiting for the oath of office, but I think everybody should take an oath of office. I have it right here. Sir, go ahead. Read the oath of office. I'll make you president.
All right. I do solemnly swear...
You know what I mean?
I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office.
You were supposed to say your name, that I...
Oh, okay, I do solemnly swear that Shorty Stewart will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United
States. Shorty Stewart?
Yes.
Would you like to just swear once?
Hell!
Thanks for coming down, Mel.
Thank you.
Lovely to talk to you, and keep up the good work. Is there another album in the works?
Not right now, but you know, if it wasn't for people like you that do these little shows, there would be no platform for comedy albums anymore. It's really hard to get them played anywhere in America, and I really appreciate your hunting me down to do this, you know.
Well,
thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this show. That was a rebroadcast of something from a couple years back featuring Mal Sharpe. His two records are, again, available on Rhino. They are called The Last Man on the Street and The Meaning of Life, and I think they're both wonderful. I think he's wonderful. Let's see. Next week's program is going to be part one of our two-part Salute to Baseball. I don't think we did it last year, so most of this stuff hasn't been heard in at least 2 years, and I've got some new stuff that has never been heard, so it's time for our Who's On First annual or semi-annual or biannual Salute to Baseball, or hetero-annual Salute to Baseball, which is coming up next week and the week after that. And so that's about it. I haven't had a chance to watch any of those new shows that I've taped yet, but I'll get back to you. I'll let you know which ones are worth watching. And so until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised. Let's go out with one last piece from Mal Sharpe.
Well, that about wraps it up here on the street. It's 5 o'clock here in San Francisco on Market Street. The fog is drifting in over the tops of the skyscrapers. But before I disappear into the crowd, I just want to give you one tip. If you're ever on the street with a microphone and you're at a loss for a good question, just walk up to somebody and say, "Hi, what's your favorite fish?"
Who are you?
What's wrong with asking?
I don't like nuts cornering me on the street.
Why do
you want to know my favorite fish? Why?
I'm the man on the street.
My favorite fish is red snapper, fried.
I gotta go home now, okay?
Good night.